Welcome to History Lost in Time, from one enthusiast to others. And welcome to the second aeronautics episode. This time I will again talk about a Henschel close support aircraft, because if you talk about the Henschel HS-123 from episode 4, you also have to mention the Henschel HS-129.
Why this topic today?
In this episode, I want to briefly introduce the Henschel HS-129 and provide a short overview of this aircraft. This will not be an in-depth episode, and I won't take a comprehensive look at the aerial warfare of the time.
Political background and commentary.
This episode does not have any political background and no political agenda.
The sources.
My main sources are Wikipedia and the following book, Manfred Griehl, Typenkompass Henschel, Flugzeuge seit 1933, which basically means Type Compass Henschel, Aircraft since 1933, published by the Motorbuchverlag Stuttgart 2011. As mentioned before, close support aircraft don't have much of a lobby. That's why at the beginning of World War II, the focus was on other types of aircraft, mostly fighters and bombers. Close support aircraft were of a secondary nature, and close support squadrons had to use older models, like the Henschel HS-123, or obsolete fighter types, like the B, C and D variant of the ME-109. Still, the Henschel company was working on a new type of close support aircraft, although they did this with a low priority. This was also due to the fact that some resources were in short supply, especially engines, but also other crucial components. While the order to start development was given in 1937 already, the first flight of the Henschel HS-129 only took place on May 26, 1939. In contrast to the biplane 123, the 129 was a single-decker aircraft with two engines, so basically an aircraft that looked very contemporary. It was designed as a one-person aircraft, so there were no defensive gunners. It was supposed to be armed with two machine guns, two 20mm cannons, a few bombs, and some defensive armor. The Luftwaffe Ministry, the RLM, had initially decided that the aircraft should use Argus AS-410 engines. These were fairly weak, only producing about 430 horsepower each. The empty weight of the 129 was about 4 tons. The takeoff weight was above 5 tons. Flight testing with the Argus engines was slow. The 20 pre-series aircraft, the A variant, that used the Argus engines, were underpowered and considered to be unusable by the Luftwaffe. On top of that, the pilot couldn't really see outside of his cockpit, so ground attacks were basically impossible. That opinion didn't change even after the aircraft were equipped with improved Argus engines that produced 465 horsepower. The situation of the 129 only improved after the Wehrmacht had won the campaign against France in 1940. Captured French engines were now available in large numbers, so the 129 was refitted with Nome Héron 14M engines that produced 700 horsepower each. The cockpit was redesigned so that the view of the pilot was improved, and the B variant of the 129 finally arrived at the Luftwaffe squadrons in December of 1941. The engines were much more powerful, however they suffered from reliability issues, causing a lot of aircraft losses without enemy action. The unsuccessful campaign against the Soviet Union in winter of 1941-42 caused an increase in close support aircraft production. Production of the 129 received the highest priority as close support aircraft were badly needed at the Eastern Front. Let's take a look at the technical data as it appears on page 85 of the Type Compass book. The Henschel HS-129 variant B2 had a length of 9.82 meters, a height of 3.42 meters, and a wingspan of 14.2 meters. Empty weight was 3.7 tons, takeoff weight was around 5 tons. Top speed at 4,500 meters was 450 kilometers per hour or 280 miles per hour, but only 330 kilometers per hour or 205 miles per hour at ground level. The range was 775 kilometers or 481 miles. The 129 was able to carry a wide variety of weapons. The standard armament consisted of two 7.92mm machine guns. The heavy armament initially consisted of two 20mm machine cannons. However, this was quickly upgraded to two 30mm guns to engage armored targets. Initially, the Mark 101 gun was used, later in small numbers also the Mark 103 gun. There were tests to use 37mm, 50mm and even 75mm guns, and some aircraft used these types of weapons in combat. However, there were massive problems with these guns, so most 129s continued using the 30mm guns. The 129s were designed to carry several 50kg bombs, but they could also carry heavier bombs, grenade launchers and even flamethrowers, although those turned out to be not very effective. Since this would otherwise be a very short episode, I will take a closer look at the super heavy weapons. I am sure this will be of some interest, since these are rather unusual weapons to be fitted to aircraft. The idea is simple. Heavy weapons to fight tanks from the air, and not just the old PT tanks, but also the T-34s, the KVs and the IS tanks. There you have at least four problems. Aiming, reloading, weight and recoil. Aiming can be solved the easiest by installing a specialized aiming device for the gun. However, reloading is already a problem because there were no automatic loading systems for these guns back then. Therefore, the Luftwaffe developed drums similar to those used by revolvers. However, that meant that the aircraft was limited to about 6 to 16 shots, depending on the size of the drum. Manual reloading was obviously impossible for a single-person aircraft like the 129. The third problem is weight. Remember, the 129 has a takeoff weight of around 5 tons. Let's compare the weight of a few weapons that were installed on the 129. The MG-17 machine guns have a weight of around 10 kilograms. The MG-151 20mm cannons come up to 40 kilograms. The 30mm guns Mark 101 and 103 have a weight of around 140 kilograms. The 37mm guns weigh around 300 kilograms. The 5cm gun was based on the one which was installed on the Panzer III tank, and that had a weight of around 400 kilograms. And the 75mm gun was based on the one used on the Panzer IV tank, and that had a weight of 750 kilograms. So each jump in caliber also means a jump in weight. And that has a dramatic effect on stability, weight distribution and total weight of the aircraft and can cause massive problems. The last thing you want is an aircraft that flies erratically due to its onboard weapons or can't even fly at all. The fourth problem is recoil. Firing machine guns and machine cannons shakes an aircraft from that time already quite severely and reduces its speed, something you really don't want when flying low. Weapons that are more suited for tanks like 37mm, 50mm and 75mm guns can rip an aircraft apart with their recoil or at the very least have it spin out of control. Even some tanks had problems like that. The favorite tank of some gamers, the KV-2 with its massive 152mm gun, was in reality only of very limited usefulness. If it wasn't parked on a stable level surface, the recoil of its weapon could flip it over. These and other problems were never fully solved, which is why most of the 129s kept their standard 30mm armament. The 129 saw combat in Russia and northern Africa. Initially, the 129s were quite effective with their 30mm guns against Soviet tanks. On page 90 of the Type Compass, it is mentioned that by late 1942, 129s had destroyed 91 heavy and 1,000 light Soviet tanks, suffering only 20 losses. However, as the armor protection of the Soviet tanks improved, it forced the 129s to upgrade their weaponry as well. Almost 900 129s were produced, almost 800 of those were of the B2 variant. Production had to be cancelled in autumn of 1944. The 129s continued to fly until spring of 1945. However, their numbers dwindled quickly. As the 129s didn't have any defensive gunners, they required fighter protection. As the war in the air got worse and worse for Germany, the Eastern Front being no exception there, Soviet fighters became increasingly problematic for the 129s, as they were no match for them, neither regarding their speed nor their maneuverability. Still, the 129 was a fairly successful close-support aircraft. It was used by the Luftwaffe and in small numbers also by the Hungarian and the Romanian Air Force.
Finishing words.
The Henschel HS-129 isn't as well known as the Soviet Ilto Sturmovik, but it was still a relatively successful close-support aircraft of World War II. Obviously, it is in the shadows of the close-support variants of the Focke-Wulf 190, but it shouldn't be completely forgotten.
Thank you for your interest.